And amongst it all, we recognize two things. First of all, as we receive and acknowledge the Holy Spirit, he produces fruit within our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, as it's known. Again, we went through the fruit this morning very briefly. But tonight, I want to look at the other aspect of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that he comes with gifts. And again, this, like so much in the life of the church with the Holy Spirit, is that it's often a source of division. The very thing that should unite us and the very thing that should bring us together has often tended to divide. And one of the most divisive areas that we acknowledge within the life of the universal church is when we start looking at the spiritual gifts, the gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us. So I want tonight just to look at it in three aspects. Simply, the gifts, God uses them, and the guidelines, because there are guidelines which we want to recognize, that we can acknowledge that God, in giving us gifts, gives us instruction in that context. In the lesson which Miriam read from 1 Corinthians 12, we see the list of spiritual gifts. I only asked her to read the first part because later on in that same 12th chapter, Paul continues to write about the spiritual gifts. So picking up, for example, at verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those who are having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of languages." I've changed the word there. The word is tongues. It means languages. And sometimes we get hung up on this gift of tongues. It means the gift of languages. And then he asks the question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have the gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Eagerly desire the greater gifts. So Paul has given us in 1 Corinthians 12 a list of spiritual gifts. He also gives us an indication of spiritual gifts in writing to the Romans in chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. He mentions several spiritual gifts there. Similarly, in Ephesians 4, he mentions gifts there. So, if we look at the list that he gives to us, the one that seems to come out most and is mentioned, and we'll see it as we look at the list in Romans first, is the gift of prophecy, the prophetic utterance. That word from the Lord and a prophetic word given to us for our help and direction. It's often a gift of encouragement. It's often an acknowledgement of what we know. And it often means to us something which is special for us at that particular time. The gift of prophecy. The gift of teaching. I believe it's important. We acknowledge that from the pulpit, we look for teaching. We look for help and understanding of the scriptures and recognizing what God is saying to us. And teaching in all kinds of contexts, small groups, different situations. special events, big events, Spring Harvest, Keswick Convention, all of these big events where teaching can take place. Some have that particular gift of teaching. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge. We often hear about people giving a word of knowledge. Sometimes these gifts are interlinked. People can be encouraged to receive healing as a result of a word of knowledge. And I know I've seen it expressed here. Paul has often had that word laid upon his heart, directing that someone within the fellowship needs to have that healing touch, that word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom, which often is accompanied by that, to direct us and to help us. What we notice here more than anything else is these gifts are given to the church to help build up the church. And the danger is if we neglect the gifts that God has given us, we are not building up the church as he would want it. The gift, it goes on in this thing, the gift of speaking in languages. Or sometimes as it's translated, gift of tongues. On the day of Pentecost, one of the most challenging things was that each of those that were there on that day of Pentecost, they were there because of the Feast of Pentecost, the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, gathered from around the world. And as I mentioned this morning, it was a popular feast. Why was it popular? Because it was easy travel at that time of the year. So consequently, people came from nations around. That's why, centered in Jerusalem, there were so many different people from different areas of the world. And the amazing thing was, on that day, they each heard in their own language the message that God had given to them. And in the life of the church, if we do see a word coming in languages or in tongues, as we often say, it's quite essential to have that second gift of interpretation. We're told in Scripture that if that does happen, we wait until we get the interpretation, till someone gives us that interpretation, maybe somebody completely different. Often it's the same person who's able to interpret what they've said in the language. These are all speaking gifts. But Paul doesn't leave it there, because there are gifts which are not speaking gifts. The gift of faith. Sometimes we forget that we can receive from the Lord a gift of faith. To have the faith which we would normally not have. We can have a degree of faith ourselves, but to also acknowledge that we can receive in a special way that gift of faith. Gift of healing. Those known to us, perhaps, who have a special anointing in that gift of healing. Distinguishing between spirits. Again, Scripture tells us that not every spirit that goes forth, as it were, is a true spirit. Where there is anything good, the counterfeit will be there. Satan will wish to counterfeit against that. So there are those given in the church who will be able to distinguish between that which is of the Lord and that which is of the counterfeit. Doing miracles. We'll look for miracles. We can often see them in small and large ways. Helping others. Administration. These are the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And as we put alongside them the other gifts that are mentioned in Romans 12, prophecy, teaching, we see some similarities. We see some new ones emerging. The gift of encouragement. How important in the life of the church is it to encourage each other? And there are those within the life of the church who we could recognize as having the gift of encouragement, being able to encourage believers in all kinds of ways, in service, being merciful. And how about this one, giving money? Spiritual gift. The opportunity and the provision that God has given us, which enables us to give. And the ministry gift, as I like to call them, the five ministry gifts, which are given in Ephesians 4. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Some link pastors and teachers together and talk about four gifts. I believe it's probably quite clear, I think, that there are five, because there are those who are pastors who are maybe not teachers, and there are those who are teachers who are not pastors. Quite often, those who are pastors are also teachers, but the two can't be separated. These are the spiritual gifts. And if we look down that list, we find that some seem to be neglected or not acknowledged. And in that passage which I read at the end of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, the sixth one down was helping others. Spiritual gift. So we find that in verse 28, these words, and in the church God has appointed those to help others. And there are lots of examples in the New Testament. Deacons were appointed to help widows in Acts chapter 6. That was their role. To allow the apostles to do the teaching, deacons were appointed in order to wait upon tables, as it was often referred to, but in a real sense, to help those in need like the widows, to help others. There is the gift of helping others. Barnabas helped Paul to be recognized by others. Paul had a tough time. Not only with some of the Gentiles that he went to, but also with the Jews back in Jerusalem. Some of them were very suspicious about him, about his calling and his conversion. And it was Barnabas who helped Paul by acknowledging what Paul had done and bringing it to Jerusalem, to the place where the church was centered at that time, the leaders of the church. Thirdly, we find those who helped Paul escape in Damascus. Remember the story that's recounted in the Acts of the Apostles where Paul needed to escape and he was lowered down the walls, a basket, and escaped. He relied upon the help of others, the gift of helping. Apollos helped believers have a better understanding of Scripture, which included two names which are not unfamiliar to us, Aquila and Priscilla, Acts 18. We could go on quite a bit. I'm just going to stop here at 5. Paul spoke warmly of helpers in the gospel, particularly Epaphras in Colossians 4, verse 12. Right throughout Scripture, we see many who were involved in the life of the church with a gift that's not often mentioned, the gift of helping others. What's our model? Jesus is our model. He's the one who exercised all his gifts. All help should be done with the help of the Holy Spirit, therefore elevating it into a spiritual activity. When we exercise the gift of helping others, we recognize that it's the Holy Spirit that's at work within us, gifting us to enable that to happen, and to acknowledge that it is not an everyday activity of the world, but a spiritual activity, an activity of help. And it's for everyone, ordinary folk. People look at the gifts of the Spirit and start thinking, oh, they must be for super Christians or some extraordinary different sort of folk. I read from Jeff Lucas this morning, and I thought I would read from him again tonight, where he, in fact, speaks and writes about something related to this. And I hope that perhaps you can acknowledge in amongst Jeff's humor. And again, if you don't appreciate his humor, excuse me, but I do appreciate his humor and what he tries to tell us. I had a crisis of feeling ordinary, he says, when attending a major leaders' conference a few years ago. Even the names of some of these conferences can be vaguely intimidating. This was called Bionic Apostles and Prophets Together for the Universe, or something like that. I made my way to the dining room and sat opposite a woman who looked incredibly mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. She had "Woman of God" written all over her. A veritable Reinhardia Bonnke. She was quietly eating a meal, which had been lovingly prepared for her by the Christian Conference Center Chef de Cuisine. I immediately felt ordinary. The woman probably knew Leviticus off by heart and cast out demons before breakfast, but I ventured to introduce myself. "Have you had a good week?" I inquired. More for something to say, really. "No, it's been terrible. Awful, in fact." I struggled to look compassionate and sympathetic, but inwardly my heart soared. Good. Miss Mighty in God has had a rough week. That meant she was normal, and that all circumstances did not immediately jump to her intercessory command. "Ah, what went wrong then?" I asked hopefully. The dear lady described how she'd been taking her family out in the car to a car wash, which I thought was a bit sad. "Come on, kids, let's have a break and have some fun. Off we go to the car wash." During her attempt at these mechanical absolutions, family style, a major personal crisis developed. It appears that Miss Mighty and God had put a token in, noted the gratifying moment when the brushes began obediently starting to spin and the water jets began to advance relentlessly towards you, and then decided to make sure that her car windows were closed tight shut. She flicked the handle, which came off in her hand. And then, to her total horror, the window fell down all the way and disappeared inside the door, leaving a huge gaping hole which surely facilitated the admission of thousands of gallons of warm, soapy water. They would all be drowned. The woman looked around her car in a vain attempt to find something between a cross between Noah's Ark and the Titanic in order to fill the hole. There was only one thing that she could find that would possibly be suitable to fill that watertight seal: her own bottom. I really tried not to laugh, but the very thought of it made me want to lie on the floor, kick my legs in the air, and as part of my joy that the Reese had come to knowing that, yes, this was a woman who really loved God, had his authority upon her life, and this was a person who, just like me, knew how to be and handle idiotic situations. She was ordinary. I am ordinary. And so are you. But the extraordinary God that we serve seems to enjoy taking clay pots like us and using us as instruments of revival, including those who are mighty warriors, like Gideon, a stammering prophet who described himself as a bumbling pre-adolescent, like Jeremiah, and a host of others, no-hopers in human terms, who ended up as highly effective instruments in the hands of our remarkable God. Feeling ordinary, join the crowd. What Jeff Lucas is saying is important. God takes ordinary folk like you and I and enables us to do the extraordinary because he gives us gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. He enables us to do things. Let's just remind ourselves of what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Because as we look at this verse, we begin to see how clearly that can emerge. What he says at the very beginning of 1 Peter 4, verse 10 is his very words say, each one. That implies every Christian has a spiritual gift. Each one. Each one of you should use. Implies gifts to be used to the full in God's service. If God has given you a spiritual gift, it is to be used in his service. Next phrase, whatever gift, each one should use whatever gift. Now we may wish, as I've said there, to have another gift, a gift that somebody else has got. But God has given us a particular gift that we are to use the gift that God has given us. The gift he has received. That implies the genuine spiritual gifts are not humanly manufactured. We're not talking here about natural gifts. We're talking about gifts that come from God's hand, as there are gifts any boasting or showing off is totally inappropriate. Nothing of us, all of God. Why? To serve others, says Peter. Gifts to help other Christians in their lives, to build up the body of Christ. Faithfully, God's gifts to us, used in his service throughout our lives. Administering God's grace, God uses others to bless us. Just as we can bless others through our gift, others can bless us by their gift. Administering God's grace. And the interesting part is in the last phrase, in its various forms. Wide variety of gifts. Perhaps Peter is suggesting here that there are gifts even that are not listed in the New Testament. But nevertheless, gifts from God to the building up of his church, to making his church be more effective in these days. I don't know about you, but I want to see the church more effective in these days, more effective in the proclamation of the gospel, more effective in sharing the love of Jesus, more effective in uplifting Jesus in this area. God is ready to help. And the spiritual gifts are there for that purpose. Let's acknowledge that. And perhaps tonight we need each and every one of us to just sit down and come before the Lord and say, what is it, Lord, that you've given me? What is it that you've given to me as a gift from you? Not a natural, but a gift from you that I can use to help do your work in your way in these days. Let's pray together. Father God, we just acknowledge all that you mean to us. We recognize our need of you. We recognize our need of you in our salvation. But we also recognize, Lord, that you're prepared to help us and enable us to do your work in this world. And for us to acknowledge that it's your work and it's not us, it's you working in us by your Spirit. So on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, we just simply ask that in filling us again by your Spirit, you fill us, enable us to serve your church, to witness to the world, to proclaim Jesus. And Lord, if you're challenging us tonight, we acknowledge that you're the one that's at work in our life. You're the one that's doing the prompting. You're the one that's showing us the way forward. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.